Welcome to this week's edition of Thursday in the Doghouse. I'm your host, Rini Premeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer. We're here every Thursday morning from 10 to 10:30 to help educate you, the dog-owning community, so you'll understand why your dogs do the things they do. We focus on their behaviors, their health issues, the many and various breeds, and how you can provide the proper guidance they need to successfully live with you as happy and well-adjusted companion pets. Our topic of discussion this morning will be the toy breeds. I'm very pleased to have as my guest today, Darlene Arden. Darlene is an award-winning writer, lecturer, and author of The Irrepressible Toy Dog, the Angel Memorial Animal Hospital Book of Wellness and Preventive Care for Dogs, and Small Dogs, Big Hearts. She's an internationally recognized authority on toy dogs and their care, and she's also a certified animal behavior consultant. We'll talk to Darlene in just a moment. But please, give me just a moment to let you know what my services are as a professional dog trainer in the South Jersey area. Is your dog always in the doghouse? Does he greet people by jumping all over them? Does she chew your shoes and steal your undies? Guess what? Your dog needs training. Hi, I'm Rini Premeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer, and I train dogs using only positive-based methods. My services include private training right in your own home. I also offer group puppy kindergarten classes starting at 8 weeks of age and group classes for adolescent and adult dogs beginning at 5 months of age. All group classes are held at Dog Days Camp for Canines, 23 West Main Street, Marlton, New Jersey. For more information, please contact me at 609-280-9338. Or on the web at www.jerseydogtrainer.com. Again, that's 609-280-9338. Or on the web at www.jerseydogtrainer.com. Our guest this morning, Darlene Arden, is an expert on the toy dog. She's written hundreds of articles and columns for all the major dog and cat publications, as well as newspapers and general interest publications. Her latest book is called Rover, Get Off Her Leg. Good morning, Darlene.
Good morning. How are you this morning, Renee?
I'm doing really well, thanks. It's so nice to talk to you again over the airwaves. It's been a couple years since we've done this.
It has. It's so good to hear you back on the air. Thank you for the pleasure of being your company.
Oh, you are a pleasure to always talk to. We have very little time, and so I really want to make good use of time. And so are you ready to get started with my many, many questions?
Absolutely. Fire away.
Okay. For our listeners' benefits, can you give us an example of what breeds are included in the toy breed category?
No, that's easy. The Yorkshire Terrier, the Maltese, the Affin Pinscher, the Miniature Pinscher, the Brussels Griffon, the Papillon, the Chihuahua, of course, the Shih Tzu, which is only, interestingly enough, a toy breed in the United States, Canada, and Bermuda. Everywhere else, it can be found in the utility group.
Mm.
The Cavalier King Charles Spaniel is another great example of that. That's a toy dog, but he's still just a smaller hunting spaniel.
Oh, I see.
And he'll go out in the field just like any other. They're bred for a purpose. The Italian Greyhound, which is a true toy greyhound bred down from the original.
Mm-hmm.
So there's nothing else mixed in there. Those are just the greyhounds.
Right.
So there's quite an interesting assortment. There are a lot of breeds in the toy group.
Mm-hmm. What is the difference between toys and the miniatures?
The miniatures are a little bit larger. It has to do with height and weight. However, when we're talking about the toy group, we're talking about the American Kennel Club, the AKC's toy group.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't always compare well with the United Kennel Club or with, especially in Europe, the FCI. So breeds will kind of cross over. You'll find some in our toy group and the AKC that aren't necessarily in Europe's
toy
group.
Okay.
But usually we're talking about small dogs. I like to think of them as dogs 20 pounds and under. If they can fit under the seat of the plane, and that's 21 pounds or under. Then that's pretty much what I'm talking about when I refer to a toy or small dog.
Okay. With all the things that we're talking about today, and my first question is going to be about house training, would you tell the listeners, would you say that this would apply, what we talk about today would apply to both the toys and the miniatures as far as some training and the way we live with these dogs?
Absolutely, and I've even had people apply my suggestions to larger dogs because there's nothing that can possibly hurt the dog.
Right.
The difference with the toy dog or some of the smaller minis is that they have a different perspective on the world. Everything is gigantic to
right.
them.
Right, yeah.
So there are certain special considerations if you own one of these dogs.
Okay.
And yet you're always walking a fine line. It's a real dog. You need to treat it like a real dog.
Mm-hmm.
But you also have to be aware of things like unsupervised children and unsupervised larger dogs.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They can pose a hazard to the toy.
Absolutely. So let's address house training, because I think that most of the house training cases that I go on are for the smaller dogs. And so can you explain to us and give us some suggestions on how people can have an easier time of house training their little dogs and why they get into so much trouble with this?
Oh, that's so easy to explain, and it's also the number one behavior problem that lands small dogs in shelters and breed rescue, and it's the easiest thing to fix.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing we have to fix is the mindset of the owner. They have to understand that toy dogs take up to a full year to be reliably house trained,
mm-hmm.
depending upon the breed.
Okay.
Some of them will never be reliably house trained.
Is that right? You're making that statement as a fact?
I'm making that statement as what is generally considered a fact of life.
Okay.
It seems that the white small breeds may have a genetic component, but nobody's done the research. So I say this so that these people who own them aren't frustrated, because it's not necessarily their fault. We don't know. It may be their fault.
Mm-hmm.
It may not be. It may be a genetic component. So we're talking about dogs with the Bichon family. Now, when you talk about miniatures, that's in the non-sporting group where miniatures go. But we're talking about the Bichon, the Maltese, which is certainly a toy, the Bolognese, the Havanese, which is another toy dog.
Mm-hmm.
These little dogs have more problems. But let's start with the issues. First of all, people look at these little dogs, and they don't take house training as seriously as they would if the dog were a Great Dane puppy and dumping a quart on the rug.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're going to pay attention to that.
Yeah.
But most people don't figure out that they've got a problem until they walk barefoot through the house and
right.
you hear this, ew, coming across, you know, the house.
Right.
Well, ew should be translating into, we better pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
The puppy needs to be on a regular schedule. The puppy needs to be taken out after meals, after stimulating play, after anything that gets the dog excited, before going to bed at night. And I always suggest that the owners sleep in sweats. Because if that puppy needs to go out in the middle of the night and you don't take the puppy, guess whose fault it is?
That's right. It's always our fault.
It's always our fault. It's invariably our fault.
Mm-hmm.
Have the new puppy sleep in the bedroom with you in a crate.
Correct. I love that advice.
Mm-hmm. You know, before you even bring the puppy home, pick out one elimination spot and make it secluded if you can. If you live in the city, that doesn't fly. You're going to have to find a way around that. Pick another spot. Understand about curbing your dog. Always clean up after your dog wherever you go.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no excuse for not doing it, because there's now a little thing you can attach to your leash no matter what size dog you have, and it dispenses poop bags.
Right.
So that's a given.
Mm-hmm.
But you take the puppy to its special elimination place, and you do that when you first bring the puppy home.
Mm-hmm.
Give him an opportunity to relieve himself. Females may not do that right away. It depends. But you want this place secluded because they don't want to smell the pheromones of other dogs coming through and feel vulnerable, especially the females who have to squat to eliminate, which immediately puts them into a vulnerable position.
How interesting. I would never have known that.
And you just praise the puppy to the skies when the puppy does the right thing. Yay! But wait until after they finished eliminating, or else you'll stop them from eliminating.
Right.
And you don't want to stop that midstream.
Right.
You want to make sure that they understand. Now, if you're having problems, go back to square one and start all over again with the schedule. Now, at this point, get a very special treat that the puppy has at no other time. Teensy-weensy pieces of boiled hot dog, a different kind of cheese. Make sure it's small. And you have to figure, in your mind, you really must be figuring these amounts of treats in with the dog's daily ration of food, because you don't want the puppy to gain weight.
Right.
If you have a toy dog that ultimately weighs 4 pounds, it gains a pound. That's a quarter of his body weight.
Correct, yeah.
So that's a real problem. So you have to be aware of that. That's another one of those places where toy dogs are different, and you really need to be thinking, yes, it's a dog, but. And we all need to be aware of dog's weight, no matter what size dog we have. But you want to be sure that the dog gets the idea, that you don't get frustrated and throw up your hands and give up. If it's months and months and months, if the dog doesn't train as quickly as your neighbor's golden retriever puppy.
Right. Darlene, don't you get calls from people who tell you, my husband said if we can't get this dog house trained, we have to get rid of him.
Absolutely.
And that's horrible. It's so sad.
It's sad. It's aggravating. I have to bite my tongue to keep from saying, why don't you get rid of your husband and
yeah.
the toilet all the time?
Yay!
Maybe he needs to be rehomed.
You got it. You got it.
You know, I mean, if he's not patient, what's he doing with the kids?
Yeah.
The other frustration, of course, is we're moving and we can't take the dog.
That's horrible.
Yes?
That's really horrible. You know, a lot of people are looking for puppies now to give out as Christmas presents, and there's so many negatives to that scenario. What advice would you give people, especially regarding their interest in getting a toy dog for Christmas? What would you say to them at this time?
I would tell them don't.
Okay.
I would tell them to decide if a toy dog is really right for their family and their lifestyle. And if they have small children, remember that anything a child can pick up, a child can drop.
Yeah.
Don't bring any puppy home, no matter what its size, at Christmas. I would suggest that the family has decided never to surprise anybody with a puppy. They have to want it. It's a commitment for a lifetime.
It certainly is.
But they need to decide what breed is going to work in best with their family. Perhaps talk to a breeder or go to a shelter. Shelters don't really want to release the puppies over Christmas.
I wish that were true.
A puppy layette.
Yeah.
For Christmas or Hanukkah, whatever holiday you're celebrating, or Kwanzaa, get them a good book, wrap it up, a picture of what your dog will look like, or if it's a little mixed breed, just a generic puppy picture, a good book on the breed itself, if it's purebred, a book on training, a good book on positive training, a bed, a crate, a leash, collar, or harness I prefer for the small dogs, for the toys, dishes, comfy bed, comfy crate, a couple of safe toys, just all of the accoutrements that you're going to need to buy anyway. Wrap those up. And then bring the puppy home later, because you're not going to have time to devote to a puppy during the holidays with all the rush of people. You don't want the puppy getting confused and upset. It's bad enough he's leaving litter mates and mommy and going to a strange home. You know he's home. He doesn't.
Correct.
But without this tangle of people and too much stimulation and too much temptation, and it's just, it's too frightening for a puppy. And it's too much for you. You're not going to have a chance to bond with the puppy when you're rushing around entertaining people, getting ready for company, running out to different events. So that's the worst time. Bring the puppy home after the first of the year when things settle down.
Or in the spring. I always tell people, if they're asking my opinion, I always tell them it's much, much better to get a puppy of any breed in the spring when the weather's starting to warm up, so that we don't have the weather to deal with when we're house training the puppies, and we can get that puppy out much easier to socialize the puppy and get them out and about and stuff like that. Otherwise, we're shut-ins for the winter, and now we have, you know, in the spring, by the springtime, the puppy is already showing fearful behavior, so...
Right, exactly. They need to be socialized. You're not going to be able to get them out as well in the winter.
Right.
Toy dog puppies and any dog without a hair coat need to wear a warm coat or sweater. So to house train, now you've got the added problem of dressing your kid up in a snowsuit virtually.
Right.
And it's too late by the time you run them out there. They've got to go,
yep.
Ow.
Yep, that's right.
So spring is much better, but certainly never around a holiday.
Okay. Yeah, well, we're certainly on the same page about that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people get the toy breeds and the smaller breeds because they are so much like babies, and many people get dogs as child substitutes, and because they're always in a state of constant childlike, you know, behaviors. They're always kids. I mean, they just don't ever look like they're mature until they're old, unfortunately. And so we wind up treating them like human babies. And many of the toy breeds and miniature breeds that I work with every day are problems. They develop problematic behaviors because people don't treat them like the dog that they are. What are the ramifications of spoiling a small breed dog?
Cujo in a small body.
don't we know?
That's also what happens if you don't socialize any dog, even the little ones. Laughing when the dog is growling at somebody else, thinking, oh, isn't he cute?
Yep, I've heard that too.
Prudent. Mm-hmm. And the people do that. Oh, it looks so adorable. Mm. No, it's not adorable, and it can get your dog into a lot of trouble. You're going to have a spoiled, snarling, miserable brat,
right.
or a dog that's so withdrawn and so shy, he's afraid of everything, so he becomes a fear biter.
Mm-hmm.
I always recommend training and getting into a dog sport that the dog can do with a toy dog. Freestyle, canine musical freestyle, is perfect for any size dog, and you don't need a purebred in order to do that.
Right. That's doggy dancing for anybody that isn't familiar with that term, and it's so much fun to watch. It's so much fun to do.
Oh, it's great, and because the dog has to work on all sides of the owner, veterinarians have noticed that they're better balanced.
Oh, really?
Which is really nice. It's a nice bonus, but it's all about the bond, and isn't that what we want?
Absolutely.
An animal bond.
Sure.
I suggest that people get involved in something. You can do rally-o, any sport you can do with a big dog, you can pretty much do with a little dog. Fly ball, I think it gets them too jazzed, but if you like it and they'll let you use a tiny ball, certainly a chihuahua can't put his mouth around a tennis ball.
Correct.
It's bigger than he is.
Right.
But that's another sport to try. Some Papillons do very well in agility.
Really?
Good. Several other breeds, yes.
Okay.
Usually you'll find that the top toy dogs in agility are Papillons.
How interesting.
Although other breeds have done pretty well in it.
Mm-hmm.
I've even seen Pekingese, which waddle, you know.
Oh, my.
That were bred to do agility. So they don't quite look like the standard because they don't have that barrel roll that the walk that the show dogs have. But they're healthier. It's exercise. It's great. We get out with our dogs. We do something. And it's a wonderful bonding and sharing experience, but it's also healthy. Take the dog for a walk. They've got four on the floor. They can use them. People who tend to coddle the dog tend to carry it everywhere.
Right.
There are times when it's appropriate. You don't want the dog stepped on in a crowd. And that's for the dog's safety. Get up before some woman in high heels smashes it through your dog's body.
Oh, God.
But there are certainly times when the dog needs to be on the floor. Also, when it's very difficult with larger dogs because you're elevating their status when you pick them up, and they feel an obligation to meet the challenge of a larger dog. And owners of larger dogs will say, why don't you pick your dog up? Well, if that dog is so focused on getting your little dog you're going to be in trouble. I've seen someone's arm ripped open.
Yeah, right.
You know, there are dangers to this, and if you can't just carry it like these celebrities do, like an accessory. It's
yeah.
not a pocketbook. It's not a wristwatch.
Good point. Mm-hmm.
It's a living, breathing, sentient being.
Right.
So treat this dog as if it is as intelligent as it is.
What do you think about furniture privileges and sleeping in the bed? What is your opinion about that type of lifestyle for a small dog?
I think it's just fine. That's a privilege, and it's lost if the dog isn't behaving properly, if the dog becomes overly possessive, tries to throw the owner out of the bed, growls at the husband or wife, you know, coming into the bed, then I'm sorry, you've lost your privileges. You go sleep in your bed, and when you learn what life is like in this house, then you can come back into the bed.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, there's no proof that it spoils the dog at all. In fact, there was a study done on that. I think it may have been Dr. Victoria Voigt.
Okay, I'd be interested in reading that study myself. I do see a lot of problems in my area. Maybe not as puppies. I don't think puppies get spoiled and their behavior deteriorates so quickly, but I do see a lot of small breed dogs at about 6 months, 7 months, as they go through their adolescence,
mm-hmm.
Starting to guard the bed, starting to guard places and spaces and people, and they just get this attitude because nobody really knows how to set any boundaries or rules for these dogs, and that's critically important, just like it is with kids. There's nothing more obnoxious than a spoiled child, and there's nothing more obnoxious than a spoiled dog.
Amen.
Yeah.
That is so true. And that's another reason why I encourage training.
Mm-hmm.
Positive
Absolutely.
Training, always.
Mm-hmm.
And why I encourage dog sports.
Mm-hmm.
It gives everyone a sense of boundaries.
Right. And there's structure in that.
And you don't have to feel possessive.
Mm-hmm.
And resource guarding is something you just don't want to encourage in any size dog.
Correct. Absolutely.
And unfortunately, owners will say, isn't that cute, and laugh, and that's reinforcement for the dog.
Mm-hmm.
So now he thinks this is great.
Yeah, right.
Mommy's so excited. It's like the people who yell shut up at the dog who's barking.
Mm-hmm.
The dog's reaction is, oh good, you're barking.
Barking with me. That's very true. Darlene, what are some of the most common health issues that people need to look for in their little dogs?
Most common across the board in all little dogs is collapsing trachea.
Right.
And luxating patellas. Those are trick knees.
Oh.
Depending upon how bad the knee is, it may or may not require surgery.
Mm-hmm.
Breeders need to be paying more attention to this.
Mm-hmm.
They don't always. And, of course, you don't know what's happening with the dog from a shelter. I can look at a dog moving and tell you whether or not it has luxating patellas.
Mm.
That's from seeing so darn many of them.
Right.
It's common.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that I'm some sort of genius and I'm not a veterinarian and I don't play one on TV or anywhere else. But if you watch them move, you can see the problem. The knee will just pop in or out.
And when do you see that? Do you see that as puppies?
You see that as puppies, and the veterinarian can pick it up on examination. And should, if there's enough of a problem, should send you on a referral to an orthopedist.
Very interesting. I'm really glad that you said that. That's something that I'll benefit from knowing also. I was not aware of that.
Some will develop leg perthes. Yorkies have had a real problem with portosystemic shunt, liver shunt.
Mm-hmm.
And lymphangiectasia,
mm-hmm.
and they're predisposed to pancreatitis.
Okay.
So if the best thing you can do before you get a dog, if you're planning on a purebred, is do some research. Find out which problems are prominent in that specific breed, like the Shih Tzu have kidney problems. And then when you go to visit breeders, ask what they're doing to breed it out of their line. And if they tell you that their dogs are perfectly healthy and they don't have a problem, say thank you and walk out the door. Because anything that breeds is going to have a problem. You just want to be shown health certificates with clearances to a certain age.
Mm-hmm.
The guarantee of guarantee of health to a certain age, but the clearances tell you they paid attention to try to eliminate it from their breeding program.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And some toys can have hip dysplasia.
Mm-hmm. Wow, really?
Most people aren't aware of that. You think of hip dysplasia in larger dogs.
Yeah.
And cats, too.
Hmm.
And people don't think about smaller animals with hip dysplasia.
That's interesting. Okay. So far, I haven't met any small dogs with hip dysplasia, but I'm glad you mentioned it.
Oh, it's been seen in affinpinschers. The next time you get an affinpincher, that's the first one off the top of my head that I can think of where it's definitely been seen.
What about heart disease?
That is prevalent in Pomeranians.
All right.
You can find your little pom dead on its pillow when you come out to the kitchen.
Mm, God.
And that's not a whole lot of fun.
No, that's...
That dog is not a fun companion.
Mm-hmm.
Cavalier King Charles Spaniels also have heart disease.
Yes, that I'm aware of. Uh-huh.
That's so prevalent that I think it's almost impossible to find one that doesn't.
Oh, my. Really?
That breaks my heart.
It does.
You asked me to recommend a breeder, and I said, I know lots of good breeders.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is, I can't guarantee you're not going to have heart disease.
Right. So maybe they, knowing that, and if they want that breed, then they need to keep a close eye on the dog throughout its life. You know, regular checkups and things like that, just to keep track of this.
Absolutely.
You know,
and as every dog ages, there should be a geriatric wellness checkup.
Right. Darlene, I want to make sure that we have enough time. You have no idea how quickly time is going. We have, like, less than 4 minutes here.
Oh, my. I want
you to tell us more about your new book. I think your title is hilarious. So I imagine the book is historical, and I'm going to get a copy of it myself. Tell us just a little bit about the new book, Rover, Get Off Her Leg. Where did you come up with that title?
Well, Rover, Get Off Her Leg was, it wasn't a title I came up with. I wish I had. It was the publisher who came up with it.
He's got a good sense of humor.
Good sense of humor, and that's exactly what we wanted this book to be. I wanted to write something, because, you know, when you get so involved in a problem, you get frustrated, the dog gets frustrated, everything kind of breaks down.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did was write about the most common behavior problems. First chapter is all about how to train properly.
Mm-hmm.
Last chapter is what to do with your dog once you have a well-behaved, well-mannered dog. But I took all of the behavior problems and I listed, here's the problem, here's what to do, here's what not to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then I took anecdotes from my clients and from other people around the world.
Wonderful.
Changed most of the names to protect the guilty.
So
that if you think you've got a problem, somebody had the same problem or worse, so laugh and let's get on with it because we can resolve the issue.
Yeah.
If you don't get stressed out, it's really easy. You just can't see the forest for the trees when you're in the middle of it with your own dog.
Where can people get this dog? Where can people get this book?
They can get it anywhere books are sold, online at Amazon or Barnes & Noble or Dogwise. Any online bookstore will be able to get it out virtually immediately. Bookstores have so little shelf space today that if you don't find it on the shelf, you can ask them to order it in because Ingram has it. It's from HCI,
mm-hmm.
which is a very large publishing company, so there's no problem with getting it. It just depends upon how fast you want it or how you like to shop. This mm-hmm. time of year, I'm out of the stores. I'm shopping online.
There you go. Darlene, you've been wonderful. As usual, you're always educating me, too, which is one of the benefits of doing a program like this. Will you promise to come back and do this again, and we'll talk further about, maybe we'll spotlight some breeds and talk further about those breeds?
I would love it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So much fun with you. Renee, you're just terrific. Great.
Thank you, honey, and I'll be in touch with you soon, and we'll set up another date.
I'll look forward to it. Thanks so much.
Thank you. You have a great holiday.
Thank you as well.
All right, darling. See you later.
Bye.
Bye. I want to let you guys know about a program that's being offered at Kutztown University. You know, 8 years ago, I became very interested in learning about dog behavior and how dogs learn. I had rescued a very problematic border collie, and I had no idea how to help this dog get over his very major issues. Some of you who are listening today might also have challenging dogs, and maybe you have an interest in learning how to work with them. A unique non-credit program is available at Kutztown. It offers a comprehensive curriculum designed to teach you the necessary skills to become a professional dog trainer or to help your own dogs through their major behavior problems. A new cohort is forming now for 2010. I would suggest, if you have an interest in this, contact Kutztown University at area code 610-683-1382. That's area code 610-683-1382. 1382, you might just find yourself attempting to get into a very rewarding career. So contact them today. Before we leave, I want to let you know what's up and coming next week. I hope you join us when we'll be talking about dog body language with Barbara Handelman. Barbara trains service dogs and has trained her own dogs for this purpose. She's written a wonderfully colorful book that details how to read physical signals that your dog communicates with. This is a fascinating and important topic, so I hope you'll join us in the doghouse again next Thursday at 10 a.m. Have a wonderful week, everybody. Get out there today and get your dog for a walk. See you next week.